You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Science is interesting, and if you don't agree, you can fuck off.
All right, the male contraceptive pill. Is this about time, or
really excited?
Is that a thing?
Well, it may well be a thing. They're in trials at the moment. So this was reported at an endocrine society meeting in Chicago last week. So this is a report on a molecule called dimethandrolone undecanoate.
I tried to say that last week when I reported on it, and I didn't do so well.
See, that's the thing about chemistry. You get to pronounce sort of very long words.
Incredible words. Do you want to explain what it actually is?
Well, okay. So this is a compound that regulates hormone levels in the body so that you don't produce sperm, basically. That's essentially
at
the
all.
Way that it works. Well, it does say it reduces the amount of sperm, so okay. I'm not sure whether it gets rid of the lot or it reduces it down to levels whereby it makes it very unlikely that eggs are going to be fertilized, I guess. So this was a study of 83 men and over a month, and they were taking the pill, and basically they were looking for side effects and stuff like that. There were no sort of dangerous side effects reported after this month-long study. There were some small side effects, as there are with every damn drug that there is. So they were seeing small weight gains in some men.
Sounds familiar. Very familiar.
Yeah. A slight drop in good cholesterol, so LDL, HDL, that stuff.
Isn't it the same for women as well, I think?
Is it?
Something
is it?
Like that.
Okay.
Well, it's definitely linked to cholesterol levels as well. So okay. And you want to check that.
Yeah. I guess blood pressure.
Yeah. And in some of the cases, they had lower sex drive, so in about 8 guys, so about 10% or something. So
8 out of 10?
Eight out of 83, sorry. So about 10%.
Right.
Yeah. But I guess the good news is that, there's no major obvious side effects there. And so they're going to start a 3-month trial on this. This is a bunch of folk in the States at various universities and hospitals over in the States. And so, this is looking pretty hopeful.
So that trial, that was just to see the effects but not the efficiency in terms of preventing pregnancy?
They actually didn't mention anything about the efficiency. So
maybe they just first wanted to see how people reacted to it, and it's positive, they carry on another one?
It does sound like that. They didn't mention anything about sperm counts or anything like that. So I guess that remains to be seen. But this was only a conference presentation, so the paper hasn't been published yet.
Okay.
But we will see in the fullness of time, I guess.
I do have one kind of graphic question, though, just because I'm not sure to understand how it works. But when you say it reduces sperm, is it like the actual liquid that comes out, or is it what it contains?
The actual sperm. So the actual spermatozoa. Yeah. So it stops the body producing or minimizes the production of them. And apparently you can do the same thing with testosterone. So if you've got too much testosterone, that lowers your sperm count. And
So when a man orgasms, there will be no discharge, is what you're saying?
No, I don't think that's the case. I think it's just the spermatozoa, which are in...
Okay.
Yeah. Right.
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah.
We can say come on the radio, I'm pretty sure. I think we're all adults here.
As long as
here.
It's, spelt C-O-M-E,
Right.
but I do want to make the point here that this segues very nicely into one of the greatest injustices of the Nobel Prize, I think.
Ooh. Tell us more.
Which was the fact that there was a guy by the name of Carl Gerassi. Do you know that name?
No.
Right, exactly.
That'll be why, right? Yeah, you're going to tell us why we don't know.
You should. Okay, so what was the single greatest scientific invention of the 20th century? What do you reckon?
I don't know. You're talking to people who don't know much about
science. 20th century. That's the 1900s.
Yeah, that's fairly recent. So my vote for that, one of them anyway, would be the contraceptive pill.
I don't know the other ones, but that sounds about right.
You think about it. This invention changed society. It changed the world, And the guy that came up with this didn't win the Nobel Prize for it. He was nominated extensively for the Nobel Prize, and again, owing to the vagaries of the Nobel Prize, you can only find out whether somebody was nominated 50 years after the event.
Mm, what?
So we can only go back to 1966 at the moment. And just looking on the website just before, so he was nominated in 62, 64, 65, and 66. And you can
none of those years he got it.
And you can guarantee he would have been nominated every year since. Absolutely guarantee it. But he never bloody won.
Why?
Well, there's a good question.
Different agendas at play there,
maybe? Yes, that's one explanation. Or there were other people involved in the production of the pill or the discovery of the pill who had passed on. And so they can't get it posthumously. They never get the Nobel Prize posthumously.
Yeah.
So maybe it was something to do with that. But, you know, until they open the nominations database, you know, we'll never know how many times he was nominated, and we won't know the reasons for why he didn't get it, because I don't think the Swedish Academy, goes into those sorts of details when it comes to why people didn't win or why people did win, I guess. So I reckon that's a really sad thing. And he died just a couple of years ago, 2015.
Oh, so he won't
ripe old age of sort of 94 or something. So
get it anymore.
Yeah, I know. And you know, I think that was an extraordinary achievement, just in terms of a real world-changing discovery.
All right, answer me this. Why is it taking this long to get a male contraceptive pill?
Different agendas in play? Maybe.
Oh, and we can move on right there. That's perfect.
You know what? You know what I had to play? You wouldn't want to go on there? No?
No, I think I'll...
But I guess this is pretty incredible, and it does... it lightens a lot. If this is a thing,
of course.
This is now no longer a sole responsibility for women.
Yep, absolutely.
That changes a lot of things beyond just the
expectations.
Side
discussions.
No, I completely agree. I mean, you know, it's long overdue, and you're right. I don't know why it's taken this long.
Yeah.
So,
let's just be happy about that. And
does this it take time to get to New Zealand? How does that work if it's being
I think once things get sort of FDA approval, so that's the Federal Drug Administration in the state. So once a drug is approved by them, then basically you're pretty good to go.
Right.
Pretty much
worldwide.
Pretty much. Well, I mean, I'd be very surprised if there was an FDA approved drug that wasn't approved in other countries, because the FDA process is very, very stringent. You know, it takes years and years and years and years.
But is this something? It's not really a science question, but it's not the government wouldn't say no to this, right?
No,
you know, there's something
well, you'd hope not.
All right, moving on. Second topic. We have a space station.
We do.
That's falling.
It's gone rogue.
Or it's
Yes, it's the stuff of science fiction movies, really, isn't it? So,
are we talking? This is quite a risky thing.
Well, depends on your definition of risk, I guess.
Or more dangerous, possibly very destructive.
Okay, so this is an 8-ton spaceship, apparently.
Quite big.
8-ton. Well, actually, surprisingly, about the 50th biggest thing that's ever fallen to Earth from up there. So, which did surprise me as well. So,
made it to top 50, though.
Yes, it did, yes. So we've got 8 tons of metal and stuff and everything raining down on us. Sometime in the next week or so, nobody knows exactly when, because the orbit is sort of very variable and, you know, we're not quite sure what it's going to do. The smart money apparently is on April the 1st.
Actually saying they've got a date on when it might hit.
Well, that's when it's most likely to, but again, that could change, you know, hugely depending on what this thing does. So it seems to be sort of out of control and it's slowly spiraling down, and it's going to crash land on us. So you ask, is this dangerous? Well,
very possibly. Likely.
So it's been estimated. So NASA estimated that the chances of a particular person being hit by a piece of space junk, like you, me, or Lillian, would be around about 1 in 21 trillion. So, you know, you've got
pretty good
better odds of winning lotto. But then again, somebody wins lotto every week, don't they? So,
but do we know where it's going to crash, or is it kind of going to be scattered all around?
Well, we know it's going to be somewhere between 43 degrees north and 43 degrees south.
Which means,
okay, if you're living just south of Kaikoura, from there north, watch out.
Wait, so it's actually like heading to New Zealand?
It could do. Now, we think of the relative size of New Zealand versus the rest of the entire planet, and you'd see that the chances of it actually sort
very
of
low.
Coming down in New Zealand are very low. chances of it coming down to Titiranga where I live, you know, minuscule, you'd hope, you know.
Yeah. What are the implications of this? Legally or...
Well, legally, yeah, no, that's a very good question because this has happened before. So there was...
What?
Look, it's probably before you two were born, I hate to say it. Okay. So 1979.
But still, yeah, definitely before. Still happened.
So in 1979, there was a thing called Skylab, and this was big news because this was sort of the first space station that had gone up in about 1973 or something by the Americans, and this was huge. This was 77 tons. This was a biggie. And they still had it under some sort of control when it came back to Earth. And so they did it so that it landed on Australia, which I thought was quite funny. On Western Australia. So it was out in the desert somewhere, apparently. And, you know, it didn't hit anybody or anything. And apparently there's only one confirmed case of somebody being hit by space junk, and that was a lady by the name of Lottie Williams in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1997.
She
was just walking along the street or something, and there was this 15-centimeter bit of a rocket that had just taken off, and it hit her on the shoulder. And so she was okay.
But she was all right.
The only documented case of anybody ever being hit. So the chances of this doing any sort of damage to human beings are small.
I have one question, though. I guess if it made it through the atmosphere on its way back, it's going to make it through as well. It's not going to disintegrate.
Yes, it will disintegrate. That's the thing, cool. Because it's okay, so it's coming back in sort of uncontrolled.
Uncontrolled, right. Yeah. It's not.
And it's travelling at 27,000 kilometres an hour. So it's the majority of it's going to burn up. And what's left is normally sort of very small. But you asked the legal question before. So in about 1978, there was a Russian satellite, a Cosmos satellite, and that was nuclear powered, and that came down over Canada. And legally, so the country that launches the satellite is responsible for any damage that it does, which is reasonable. And so the Russians had to cough up $3 million Canadian dollars for that, because it sort of spread sort of radioactive debris over quite a wide area. Apparently.
So that money went to the cleanup?
One would hope.
Oh, right.
Okay. We'll assume that it did. But so, you know, that's something to watch out for. If you're a stargazer or whatever, you can actually see.
Yeah, will we be able to see it? Should we literally look out for it? Or
Well, again, you don't know when it's coming in, but if you go to a website called heavens-above.com, don't spell out hyphen, just put a hyphen in between heavens and above, then that tells you all the satellites and what time you can see them from any old where. It's quite cool. So it's a relatively bright satellite. It's got a magnitude of 1.2, something like that. So you'll be able to see it with the naked eye if you know where to look and what time to look.
Okay.
So, you know, watch the space.
Perhaps we'll talk to you about it next week.
When it's come down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
if it's come down
by then. Yeah, if it's come down.
When it hits your house in Kitterangi.
All right. So, final topic.
Indeed.
A new moth species.
Yes. This is a rather ironic one, this one. A new moth species. So, a guy by the name of Vazirik Nazari in the States has found a new species of moth, which... quite amazing, actually, when you think about it. You'd think all of the moths
things have been named.
Would have been discovered, particularly in a place like the States.
Why?
You know, it's fairly well populated and everything. And, you know, there's lots of scientists going around.
But moths tend to hang out and not very
Yeah, but you've got people noticeable. That are very interested in moths.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. But, you were speaking about cats before. My cats regularly bring in puriri moths, which is really sad because they like live in the bark for about 7 years or something, and then they get one night on the town, I think, and then the bloody cat brings them in, you know, and you hear them flattering around the bloody bark. Oh, it's terrible! Oh, it really is.
It's really sad.
Absolutely terrible. They're enormous, though. They're very beautiful. Yeah. Anyway, I am digressing. So there's a new...
Yes.
I do that occasionally.
Yes, it's fine. New
species
back on topic.
New species of moth, so what, you might say. So it's found in the southwest of the
US. I didn't say
US.
So what.
No. I was
Banter.
Banter.
Sorry, I'll stop interrupting.
We can never have enough banter. Shit, where was I going with that?
New species of
there
moth.
There we go, new species of moth.
What was it, south?
Southwest. So the southwest of the USA, which is sort of Arizona and California and northern Mexico, which just coincidentally there's going to be a wall there, you know, if you believe, you know, certain people, there's going to be a wall built there at some stage.
Oh, I see the transition.
I'm going with this. Okay. So, and this new species of moth, so it's got a little sort of blonde comb over, apparently. So if you look at photos of it, it's got a little tuft of blonde on its head. And so this guy who discovered it decided to name it Neopalpa Donald Trumpi. because apparently it resembled Donald's quiff. Okay. And maybe before or after naming it, he sort of did a comparison of its genitalia size with its nearest cousin, as it were, and found that they were quite small. And so I'm not sure whether that was a factor
correlation
of course. Yes, indeed. Yes, yes. So there you go, Neopalpa Donald Trumpi. So keep an eye out for
that. I wonder if he's stoked or not to have a moth named after him.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, apparently this goes on with US presidents because George Bush had a slime beetle named after him. George W. Bush had a slime beetle named after him.
And really?
Reagan had a wasp named after him.
But the why? But the winner is, why are they so special to have things?
Because they're the US presidents.
Well,
but the winner is Obama by a mile. So he's had nine things named after him.
Nine.
So a species of lichen, fish, bird, lizard, spider, and most terribly of all, a Kenyan parasite.
What? That's pretty ironic.
I think that scientist might have been a Republican, maybe. Yeah, possibly.
Most likely. What are the rules around naming things? With names that are already taken.
I know in chemistry, if you're the first person to discover a compound, you can call it what you like.
Whatever you want.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. A new element. So you get to name it. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't you usually give your own name, though?
No, because we're far too modest.
Oh, yeah. Oh really?
I've
actually got a couple of texts, and somebody mentioned that one of the greatest scientific inventions was penicillin.
Yes.
More than 3.5 billion people died. Is that?
Yeah, no. Penicillin was a biggie as well.
Massive. Also a question about, in terms of, back to the male contraceptive pill. What about DNA in terms of whether police investigations due to sexual assault, those sorts of things, will it muck with people's DNA?
No.
Okay.
No, I think we can say that quite categorically.
All right.
Yep.
Somebody also made a joke about saying coming down on the 1st of April.
Very good.
Maybe we'll leave it there. All right. Thank you, Alan.
Okay. Always a pleasure.
See you next week.
See you guys.
That was Dear Science.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.